He says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs and instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman." Let's go, Lord, in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can be in this place this morning. We thank you for these mothers, these grandmothers, these great-grandmothers. Lord, we thank you for their dedication. We thank you for the many memories that we have. And Lord, we pray this morning that you might teach. Lord, we all need the wisdom of God in this area. We who are fathers and grandpas, we need that kind of leadership. And we also know that every mom, every grandma in this room, they need your instruction, that they might be able to go forth being an instructor. We ask for your blessing. We pray that you would work in hearts. And Lord, we pray that if there be one amongst us that knows not Christ their Savior, today would be that day. And that you might be glorified through a life given to you. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. In chapter 1 that we read, reference is made to the father and the mother, and it's for the benefit of the child. I find it quite amazing that it is tied to verse number 7, where it talks about the fear of the Lord. And then he says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Their instruction has what we find in verse number 9 to be a beautifying effect upon the life of that individual. In chapter 6, we find that we're admonished to keep it and to not forsake it. And these laws of mom that are ingrained to a child ought to be that which leads them in the right direction in life. The laws of a mother. I remember some of the laws of my mother. I remember when I was a teenager, she told me that she could smell alcohol in somebody's breath a block away. So I never came home with it on my breath. As a result of those words and that teaching in my life, honestly, I have never had a beer in my life. I have to credit that to my mother, not to myself, because I never wanted her to smell that on me. I remember some of those instructions she gave me. I remember I cut my finger, and she'd always put methylate on that, and she'd say, "Son, it has to hurt before it feels better." Some kids need to learn that today, I think. But she ingrained some things in my life, and I believe that these things will give us discernment as we go forth in life. There are some imperatives that are used in these verses. In other words, they are commands that are used. He said to hear, he says to keep, he says to bind. They're very key to all of this. We ought to hear what? The laws of mom. We ought to keep them, should we not? And we ought to bind them around our hearts that we might go forward. It's so important for a child to heed to their parents. And by the way, if that is so important, then a parent must realize the tremendous responsibility that is laid upon us. I believe the moms have a very significant role in the life of their child. I did not know this when my first was born. I was looking forward to a boy. Every one of my brothers, their first child was a boy. My mom and dad, their first child was a boy. I just thought naturally it was going to be a boy. And being the black sheep of the family, I got a girl. Quite honestly, I was very disappointed at the time, but I learned something very unique about that, and that is, as I went through life a little farther, girls and their daddies have a special spot, but boys and their mama have a special spot. There's just something neat about all of that. It's from their body that they're born. It's from her breast that they suck. It's from her heart they experience that very first hug. The mother in those early years especially bestows much of her personality upon that child. And it's in these times that they learn the laws by which she operates and her expectations of them. We learned that. Mothers get excited when the tooth begins to come through. They're not excited about them crying and whimpering for 3 days, but they're excited because they're growing. They get excited as they measure their child's growth, and some actually keep a record of it on the wall someplace. They get excited about the very first word, and mamas get really upset if the first word is dada, because they train them over and over and over again to say mama. And normally she has a little bit more time with them than dada, and so they generally do that. But there's some yearnings, I believe, of a godly mother that goes even farther. To be able to hear that child somewhere in the first early years to be singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. To hear them sometimes to make up songs, and sometimes to take a Bible and begin to preach from it. How many have ever seen a cat baptized? To listen to them pray at lunchtime, very, very simple and yet profound. And I mean to pray sometimes specifically, thank you for the beans and the carrots, but not the broccoli. But above all else, to be able to lead them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not saved this morning, there's somebody that longs for that deeply. There's somebody that wants to see you make your way to heaven. And may I say to you, it's not by what you do, it's by who you believe. It's not by what you know, it's who you know. And that'd be very important. For you and I this morning, we must believe God and what He says about us. And that is that we are sinners. And by the way, moms, you can revel in this, but really that sin nature came from Dad. You'd like to tell him that, but he knows it. And because of that sin nature, we find ourselves in the area of sin. And because of that sin, we are separated from a holy God. And there's only one thing that can take place, and that is we recognize that and we call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. Because you see, what it tells us is the wages of sin is death. And Jesus did what on the cross? Did He die for Himself, for His sin? No, our sin was laid upon Him, and so He died for us. And what God says is, if you will believe that, I mean, if you'll receive that, you'll trust that, it will be yours. And oh, for the privilege that a mama can have to lead their child to Christ. However, this is just a starting place for teaching them how to live victorious for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a mother of God this morning, you don't want your child to grow up and be defeated all their life. You want to see them being victorious in the things of the Lord. And there's a key to teaching them that's very, very important. And if you want to turn there, you can, but if you listen very closely, Romans chapter number 12, book of Romans chapter number 12. I'm going to go two verses here this morning, and they're very familiar to you, I am sure. He begins off saying, I beseech you, brethren. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now think about it for a few moments. When you get saved, when you receive Christ into your life, there's something that takes place, and that is the Holy Spirit of God comes and indwells you. He becomes a part of you. And you have the Spirit of God living within you. That's why after you get saved, after you receive Christ, you can actually pick up a Bible and begin to understand it. Because He's the author of it, He's the teacher of it, and He's the one that makes it clear to us. You can actually come to church and understand a few things. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit of God. Whatever is said that you understand here today is not from me, but it be from the Spirit of God. He is the one. And so He comes and He indwells us. He lives within us. And we find that He has some spectacular duties to perform in our life. And one of those is to guide us and to teach us. And so here's that Spirit of God that comes into our lives. But there's something else that can take place a little later, and that is what it talks about here, I believe, in the book of Romans, when we say to the Lord, "Here am I." Now think about it a moment. He's living inside of us. But far too often, though He be there, He is not welcome everywhere. If I came to your house, no doubt you'd probably not like for me to look in your closet. Some places I go, they probably wish I didn't look in their refrigerator. And there are certain things that would be off limits to other people. Though I've been invited to the house, there's certain areas that you'd probably think, that would be very unusual, and I really don't want them in those places. You know the room that you put everything into that was once piled in the living room? And we don't want somebody there. But now we come to a verse like this, and He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies." You see, He lives within us, but now He's saying, "I want you to present your body to the Lord." What's He saying? God is saying, "Hey, I want everything." It's not a matter of just going to heaven. It's a matter that God wants everything, and He's asking you, that one who lives inside of us, to allow Him access to everything, to use everything. To use our hands, to use our feet, to use our lips, to use our ears. That's what He's asking. And that is something that is, I believe, caught and learned and can be learned especially from a mother. He enters into our heart. The Lord is that Spirit, and it's a capital S, talking about the Spirit of God. And He comes and dwells within us. He is the Lord, and because of all that, we have liberty to serve Him, but He wants us to submit our bodies to Him. When we do that, it's the beginning of a process we call sanctification and victory in Christian living. Teaching a child to depend upon the Holy Spirit of God and to discern whether it is His leading or a whim from within is a difference between being successful in our Christian life and not. How does that take place? I believe one of the great areas is that youngster watching mamas as they notice how God leads them. Who did God? You can get upset at God all you want to, but who did God say ought to be the leader of the family? Who ought to be the head? The husband. Does that make him any better? No. One woman said, "My husband's the head and I'm the neck and I can turn it any way I want to." A lot of truth to that. But he's the head. And as the head, there are certain things that he is responsible for. Isn't that not true? Matter of fact, men, we are responsible for the spiritual leadership in our families. We're responsible for the directions that we go in life. And mothers, You may not want to do everything that mom or dad wants to do, but when you learn that business of subjection, that business of surrendering to his will, it is something that then is taught to a child. And they can learn how to what? Submit themselves to the will of another. And so they can come to a verse like this where it says to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, and it's no big deal to them. You know, youngsters can learn that quicker than we adults. What happens? We grow into adulthood. We grow into independence. We grow into this area where you can't show me, you're going to have to do a whole lot of showing before I'm going to believe it. But they're in the midst of that, and they're in the midst of dependence. And moms have tremendous privilege and opportunity to lead their children in the life of dependence. Somebody says, well, you're not going to put me in that position. And your children won't be in that position either. It goes hand in hand. It's an interesting thing. Godly women who have godly husbands are thankful for a husband that leads. He's not a tyrant. He's very considerate of your needs. But at the same time, there come some points where you would like to do it different. And when a child sees that you're going to follow after that, that speaks to them. And when you teach them, you need to depend upon another, you need to follow the direction of another, they have seen that demonstrated in your life, and they can hear what they've been seeing. And is it not true that people are not going to pay attention to what we say if they don't see it in our life? So, mamas, you have a tremendous responsibility. It's not an easy road. Not at all. And those youngsters, though, they need that. Amen? You say, well, you don't know my husband. Well, maybe we don't know his wife. Not everybody has the same boat to row. But I hope you still got two oars and you got a boat. And you can guide it in the direction that you want your children to go. Be a rebel, you produce a rebel. Be a submissive one, you produce it. It's just the way it is. You see, you'll clear back to the book of Genesis and you find a truth that is there in the very first chapter. And that truth is that God made all the different plants and they would all reproduce after their kind. And we know today as we study DNA that all of the different attributes and traits have been involved in that since the very beginning. By the way, it's a great proof that evolution is a fallacy. And of all those traits and all those things that are there, that causes the development of the next generation. And those traits of spiritual, biblical-minded individuals we call mamas, it reproduces itself in the lives of those whom we call our children. I've heard mamas say, my children are my life. I'm going to tell you right now, that's a wrong statement. When you do that, you have just made your children selfish and self-centered. Jesus Christ is the center of your life. And you will help develop that in the lives of your little ones and your big ones. It doesn't stop with mamas. It goes on to grandmas. As a grandpa, I know I have as much influence in grandchildren as I did in children, sometimes more. One is I'm a little easier to get along with. I heard that, Jeff. One of them came in one day and says, "Man, you'd never let us get by with that." "No. It's your job to take care of now. I'd just be grandpa." Spoil him and send him home. You got to deal with it. That's what my mother-in-law did, so it's my turn. Amen. But seriously, God has a wonderful spot there for you to help your children to learn how to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, to be submissive to Him, to give of their bodies to Him. Yeah. By the way, Christian, that's not just to mamas, that's to all of us. He come and he resides within us, but we don't let Him have the rest. And there needs to be that time in our life we say, "Lord, here I am. Here I am. You can have all of me." Whatever you direct me to say, I'll say. Whatever you direct to come in my ears, I will hear. Lord, even what you want me to smell, I will smell. Wherever you want me to go, I will go. I'm yours. And we learn how to discern, by the way, the difference between our whims and our desires and the desire of the Spirit of God. And we can teach the others the same. Amen. I often hear people thinking about something sinful to do and they say, "I'm praying about it." Really? If God's already directed, what do we need to pray about? Do we have to pray about which bar to go to tonight? It's pretty well settled. Wine's a mocker and strong drink raging thereby. The answer's already there. Amen. Well, I'm rambling a little bit, but I hope you get the idea. Mamas, you got a great job. A great job. It's not an easy one. You could be grandmas, it doesn't get any easier. Because now you're a mama to your kids and also to your grandkids. And they look to you for guidance. And you could be a great grandma. There's a reason that word "great" is there. Because it's a great responsibility. Amen. Father, day working hearts. Thank you for our moms, our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers. And Lord, that we might be a people, as we've spoken primarily to mamas, but also daddies, that recognize how important it is to lead the next generation toward Christ. Lord, I pray for those in this room who may not know you as their Savior. You are not the Christ of their life. You're not the Lord of their life. Maybe they didn't learn it from their mama. But somehow in you and your grace have allowed that to come in their life. And they realize their need of a Savior and are willing to call upon you. I pray, oh God, that you would just move upon their heart, that they would fulfill that. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.